The matter of In Re Opinion Number 745. May we please have appearances of counsel?
Morning. My name is Sienna Butler in Re House on behalf of the New Jersey State Bar Association.
Good morning. Michael G. Donovan, law firm, Sarr on behalf of the New Jersey Association of Justice.
Good morning. Eric Khan, Jaguar. Morning, Terrence Hall from and on behalf of the Board of Realtors of Omaha.
Good morning, Council, and welcome. Thank you, in particular, I'll address this side for organizing and reorganizing your arguments as this unfolds so that you can incorporate what has been said before. We'll begin with Ms. Manning.
May it please the court, I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
That's fine.
It is a privilege to be here today on behalf of the New Jersey State Bar Association. It's worth noting that we are the largest organization of attorneys in the state, and core to our mission is to serve as the voice of New Jersey attorneys on issues of significant importance. With over 18,000 members, and members that are both plaintiff's attorneys, defense attorneys, civil attorneys, criminal attorneys, workers' comp attorneys, it can sometimes be very hard to achieve consensus. On this matter, not only were we able to achieve consensus, but we were able to act very swiftly in order to file this petition in a timely fashion. It wasn't only the New Jersey State Bar Association, though. It was also the county, many county bar associations, many of whom sent representatives here today. That is how important this argument is to the lawyers of New Jersey. Why is that? Because for almost 45 years, the lawyers in the state of New Jersey have understood Rule 1:39-6D to mean that certified lawyers can pay a referral fee to out-of-state attorneys. I submit that thousands of lawyers have interpreted the rule in a very straightforward way, relying on the plain language of that rule. However, in March, the Advisory Committee on Professional Ethics issued Opinion 745, which in essence says that out-of-state lawyers cannot receive a referral fee unless they are licensed and eligible to practice law in the state of New Jersey. And they even make the point that you must be eligible and maintain a trust account. Now here, all parties agree that the standard of review for interpretation of a court rule is the same for that of a statute. The analysis starts with the plain language of the rule, and words are given their ordinary meaning. The ACP acknowledges that New Jersey lawyers who are certified trial lawyers under the applicable rule may pay a referral fee, and specifically refers to the payment in their decision as a referral fee. Rule 1:39-6D specifically provides a certified attorney who receives a case referral from a lawyer who's not a partner in or an associate of that attorney's firm may divide a fee for legal services with the referring attorney. The fee division may be made without regard to services performed or responsibility assumed by the referring attorney. The ACP also agrees that there's no language in that rule that limits this exception to fee sharing, that limits the exception to fee sharing rules to New Jersey attorneys. The rule simply says lawyer. It does not say New Jersey lawyer. It also does not say lawyer eligible to practice in New Jersey. Rather, without citation to any case law or treatise, the committee concludes that because the rule references, quote, a division of fee, that payment of a referral fee is in fact paying a fee for legal services. The committee blanketly states, as a referral fee is considered payment for legal services rendered in the case, the lawyer must be eligible to practice New Jersey law. We respectfully submit that that is quite a leap. First, you have to ignore this entire second sentence of the rule, that the division of the fee may be made without regard to services performed or responsibility assumed, in order to conclude that the payment received by the referring attorney is a payment for legal services. You also have to ignore the definition of referral fee, not only in common parlance, but also as defined by treatise and case law. By its common usage, a referral fee is the act of directing someone to a specialist. And in legal context, we can look to the Michaels treatise, which limits the use of the term. Quote, referral fees are defined as compensation or anything of value given to secure the lawyer's employment as a client. A referral fee is therefore a fee paid solely for the recommendation of counsel without the performance of services. Use of the term referral fee in the Michaels treatise is specifically limited to those situations when the fee is paid without regard to the work performed. The appellate division also addressed the impact of the payment of a fee without regard to performing legal services in the Eichen-Levinson case, holding that a referral fee, once paid, constitutes a form of other compensation, which allowed in that case the referral fee to be paid. The court concluded that the difference was that the suspended attorney was not required to perform any work. And in coming to its conclusion, the committee does rely on the Eichen case, but glosses over the part of the decision where the court refers to that referral fee as other compensation. Here, there's no question that the attorney that receives the case referral receives a legal fee. But when that fee is divided and a referral fee is paid, it becomes a form of other compensation, a payment for the act of the referral, and specifically not for the provision of legal services. This is the only interpretation regarding the payment of a referral fee that has been consistently applied in case law and treatises, and it is this interpretation that the lawyers of New Jersey have been following. Respectfully, Opinion 745 created an issue where one did not exist, and it created a problem that did not need to be fixed. And accordingly, the New Jersey State Bar Association requests that 745 be overturned.
Please go ahead with your argument.
That is the entirety of my argument.
Do you have a position with respect to the last part of 745, payment of referral fees to attorneys with a conflict?
I think that there is no blanket solution. I think that it depends. Conflicts are fact sensitive, and that the opinions and cases that determine conflicts allow you to come to a conclusion about whether or not it should be paid. I don't think it's just a blanket statement that if you have a conflict, you should not be allowed to pay a referral fee. I think there are certainly factual circumstances where that may be true, where the conflict is unwaivable. And I think that there are other circumstances where that is not true. And I think that one of the things that the court rules try to do in allowing certified attorneys to pay referral fees is to say that the client must be fully informed. So I think that if the client is fully informed of the circumstances and it is a situation where there's a waivable conflict, they might make a decision to go forward. They also might make a decision, and I think the rules and the case law and the treatises all talk about this. A client may say, I want to go to a lawyer that's not paying a referral fee because I want the lawyer to give the full attention to my case. And I think that's the logic behind full information about the agreement between the attorneys.
If the court were to adopt your primary argument, what would you have us do on this point, the conflict point?
The conflict point? I don't think there's anything that needs to be done. I think the position here is that a rule change isn't necessary, that clarification isn't necessary, that the opinion 745 itself created the confusion, and that if it is vacated and we go back to where we were prior to March, that there is no action that needs to be taken.
vacate in its entirety, is what I hear you say.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Counselor, I struggle a little bit with the conflicts part, I have to be honest. Don't you think there is something, I understand the waivability, but don't you think there's something slightly potentially unseemly about an attorney receiving compensation or monies potentially as a result of a resolution involving an adverse party, or a party with whom there is a conflict? And is it your point that, well, whether it's waived or not is the only option there that may remove any taint to that going forward? But if we're returning to the status quo, then I'm not really sure where that leaves us with regard to whether that scenario could unfold, that an attorney who is adverse to a client then receives compensation as a result of a resolution of that case. And don't you think that's the optics of that are potentially problematic?
I think that the determination is made on a case-by-case basis. So I think that in taking your honor's scenario where there is an actual conflict, there is a conflict that, and it's not waivable, it's not a waivable conflict, then the rules as they stand would say that you can't pay a referral fee.
Do you mean waivable or waived? I mean, it sounded like what you're saying is that the client could waive this, whether it's waivable or not, and I would say probably most conflicts are waivable, doesn't seem dispositive if the client hasn't been fully informed of the conflict and decided to waive it.
Absolutely. And I think that's true in any conflict situation. I think that if lawyers get themselves into a situation where they have not explained the conflict and that there is a fully informed waiver, that then the payment of the referral fee would be called into question. But I think that the rules on conflict cover how you deal with a conflict, whereas 745 was focused on payment of a referral fee by certified attorneys. And if you look at if that applicable rule, it doesn't go into the weeds on conflicts because it's relying on the other parts of the court rules to deal with conflicts.
What about ACPE opinion 613? Which I thought concluded that a referring attorney who must withdraw due to a conflict can't receive a referral fee because a lawyer shouldn't be able to profit from a conflict?
It does. It does say that.
So is your position that that sentence, that the portion of opinion 745 that deals with conflicts is not necessary because opinion 613 already says that?
Yes, and exactly. I think that the court rules, the RPCs, and the opinions that are in effect that deal with conflicts cover this issue, and that it doesn't need to be dealt with within the context of the referral fee court rule.
Other questions, anyone? Anything you'd like to add, Ms. May?
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Donahue?
May it please the court. Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices. The New Jersey Association for Justice respectfully requests that the court reverse and vacate opinion 745 to the extent that it bars referral fees by certified civil trial attorneys to out-of-state attorneys. The opinion neither recognizes a problem that persists throughout New Jersey, nor does it provide a solution to any issue that attorneys are consistently facing. Instead, the opinion is written needlessly and with support without any policy support, limits the payment of referral fees by New Jersey certified trial attorneys to other New Jersey lawyers. It undercuts the New Jersey certification program, a program that's administrated by this court and has existed without criticism, without any issues for nearly 45 years. Attorneys who have demonstrated unblemished ethical behavior, who have met the minimum standards of competency set by this court and its committee, are therefore somehow not permitted to use the recognized incentive when those referrals come from out of state, that they could share with in-state attorneys. Opinion 745 recognizes that the referral of a client as a legal certified, as a legal service, is purely based upon the payment of a fee. This argument is based and predicated upon the assumption that a fee division results in the characterization of the referral as a legal service. This is a reverse engineering argument that does not find its support in any of the prior opinions of the committee, nor does it find support in any decisions within New Jersey's jurisdiction. A referral is not legal services. As noted by Ms. Manning, referral fees are compensated, provided to a person or an organization to recommend or secure the lawyer's employment by a client. The referral fee is paid merely for the recommendation of the lawyer without the performance of services. Historically, referral fees were not favored. If we look to our ethics opinions before the Certified Civil Trial Attorney Program, specifically Opinion 273 in 1973, we learn that in that context, the committee found specifically that the fact that the Pennsylvania lawyer who referred the case to New Jersey and only referred the case to New Jersey was pressing a claim for fee that could not be substantiated by the pure referral. That was not a legal service that was recognized for the purpose of fee division. Specifically, the service and responsibility must, to be effective, relate to the handling of the case. To reach even farther back to Opinion 87, the committee in that decision described referral fees as fees paid irrespective of any real service performed or responsibility assumed. The committee noted that it had repeatedly held that no right to a division arises from the mere recommendation of an attorney by another attorney. We move forward to the certification program in New Jersey. Thought placed into this program. It did not arise from nowhere. The thought behind it was to identify and have accountable a certain subset of attorneys that met competency standards, that were ethically unblemished, and complied with the referral or complied with the reference requirements of the rule. It was studied and ultimately adopted by this court. The incentive to use these lawyers, both to the public as well as other lawyers, was the fact that these lawyers could pay referral fees to move cases from those without expertise, without suitable substantive competence, to lawyers who had been who had demonstrated those traits. And this court had affirmatively identified them within the program. When we see this program in practice, and we see the Eichen case, the first time that our courts consider the interplay between referral fees and legal services, the appellate division clearly holds that the referral fee constitutes other compensation, not a fee for legal services. There is no support in either the prior opinions of the committee or New Jersey's courts to find the referral fee other than a payment for recommendation. The actions of the referring lawyer are not the practice of law in New Jersey. If anything, they're the exercise of the identification that the case cannot be brought in the jurisdiction in which that lawyer sits, and that the case should be brought in New Jersey, and that attorney should have the availability of New Jersey Certified Civil Trial Program, first to help identify appropriate lawyers, and then to incentivize the out-of-state lawyer from otherwise affiliating with a New Jersey lawyer and attempting to handle the case on his or her own, or perhaps worse, abandoning the client because he or she fears that he's or she has inadvertently engaged in the unauthorized practice of law. And that's what this decision ultimately does. It creates confusion in a place where there once was clarity. And it is the position of the New Jersey Association for Justice that the opinion should be reversed, vacated, and ultimately put this back in the place where it was, where out-of-state lawyers were permitted to receive referral fees from New Jersey certified attorneys. Thank you.
Questions, anyone?
Can I just ask, counsel, in your experience or in any of your membership, you know, of their experience, is it ever the practice to disclose to a client when dealing with a retainer agreement that a referral fee will be paid?
It's not just the practice, it's the obligation. We are absolutely obligated to inform the client of the referral, explain to them the effect of the referral. And that must be a conversation in addition to being memorialized in the fee agreement.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Kahn.
Chief Justice Ravner, Associate Justices, may it please the court. I'm going to be very brief. I'm going to look at this from the practical approach. If I'm a certified civil trial attorney, it should not matter if I'm paying referral fee to a licensed New Jersey attorney or a licensed out-of-state attorney. It's a distinction without a difference when it comes to paying referral fees. If you look at the goal, as Mr. Donahue just talked about, the goal of the Certified Civil Trial Program is to protect the consumer. It's to protect the citizens of the state of New Jersey. And if this ethics opinion were to stand, you are going to disincentivize out-of-state lawyers to refer cases to certified civil trial attorneys. There would be no benefit to them. They can refer, you know, to any lawyer that they know or have come across. What you're going to see is a flood of these out-of-state attorneys. If they have an, they're going to want interest in a case. They're going to want to participate in the case. You're going to see a flood of pro hoc vice motions. You have lawyers coming into our courts who don't know our rules. They may be very good lawyers. I'm not disparaging. They're not going to know our rules. They're not going to know our laws. And if they're not teaming up with a certified civil trial attorney, if they're teaming up with a general practitioner or a real estate attorney, it is not going to do us, it's going to be a disservice to our clients and to our consumers. That's what I see from a very practical approach, that what's been going on for the last 45 years works. I get, as do other attorneys here that are presenting, lots of referrals from out-of-state attorneys. They send us the case, they don't have to worry about it. I don't need them involved in the case. I don't need them coming into court before our judges. You know, the cases get handled correctly. And again, as has been said, this is a problem. It's not a problem we've had. Again, I said I'd be brief. That's my practical opinion as to what would happen if this rule were to stand. I'm happy to take any questions.
It's just one question. Practically, what then do you do in instances in which there is a potential conflict with, and that is why you're referring it?
Yeah, I want to be careful with the conflict issue. I'm appearing on behalf of Abota and Tange, and I was authorized to speak as to the certification rule. I have opinions, but I don't feel comfortable in my role here talking about the conflict issue, if that's okay. I don't want to overstep my authority.
Thank you, Mr. Kahn.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justices. I will rely on preceding counsel's arguments and those in my filing, but as they echo each other and are largely one and the same, but I want to briefly add one other important consideration as to why petitioners are seeking reversal of Opinion 745, and that is the weakening of the value of a designation of a certified attorney and the lessening of incentive to become a certified trial attorney. As a young attorney, I aspire to achieve the designation of certified civil trial attorney. It is a marking, as your honors know, of the highest standard of competency, identifies a certified attorney as one who has exhibited extensive trial experience, education, reputation, and professional fitness to this court. In recognition of this high standard, certified attorneys are granted the privilege by this court to provide a referral fee to any referring attorney without regard to services performed or responsibility assumed by the referring attorney. This incentivizes referring attorneys to seek out these specialized attorneys who are best suited to handle the referred matter, and incentivizes young attorneys in our practice to go through those many hurdles to be granted the privilege of getting to provide referral fees once becoming certified. It is a daunting task to accumulate the requisite number of days on your feet and to go through the testing and to attain the level of specialized knowledge needed to become certified, but knowing that you will be able to signal to all attorneys, particularly those out of state, that you are certified and condoned by this court to pay a referral fee is excellent motivation to reach and maintain that status, and further increases the reach of certified attorneys to be able to better assist the public and employ their specialized knowledge to use in protecting and advocating on behalf of the client. Respondent made the argument in his opposition brief that out-of-state attorneys can still make referrals to certified attorneys just without a referral fee being provided, but that punishes and devalues certified attorneys without any justification and does not create a solution to any issue. Removal of the referral fee from the certified attorney program no longer encourages attorneys to refer clients to the best possible representation, but instead promotes the scenarios of either having the out-of-state attorney, as counsel previously referenced, attempt to handle the matter him or herself, or tell the client in need of direction and help to figure it out for themselves. Thus, the status of a certified attorney is weakened and devalued, as they are no longer the highlighted focus to guide litigants in need to. 745 increases the risk of harm from representation by out-of-state attorneys not familiar with New Jersey practice and procedure, or to be guided to other attorneys who are not deemed by this court as possessing the high level of skill and knowledge certified attorneys specialize in, resulting in potential adverse consequences to the client, the public. The ability of a certified attorney to provide a referral fee incentivizes other attorneys to ensure that they are referring the public to receive qualified, diligent representation. It places the protection of the clients at the forefront. Weakening the certification by denying referral fees to be paid, as 745 suggests, results in a deprival to the public of the most experienced representation. If less and less attorneys are encouraged to become certified, it only stands to harm the public and the bar itself, as those who are most rigorously tested and experienced are no longer being made as readily available to represent those in need and generally promote a higher standard of trial advocacy throughout our courts. To that end, respondent acknowledged in its filing that if 745 does disincentivize out-of-state attorneys from referring clients to certified attorneys, as petitioners have asserted, then the rule should be amended to clarify permission of payment of referral fees to out-of-state attorneys. Now, this was addressed by counsel at the start as to the plain meaning and interpretation of the rule as presently constituted without need for amendment. But to look at respondent's concession through a different lens, it acknowledges that when out-of-state attorneys are no longer incentivized to refer to certified attorneys, the significance and the value of that certification is diminished to no one's benefit. I don't think anyone would say that the attorney certification program is a net negative or a negative in any respect. So something like opinion 745, which stands to weaken the certification and disincentivize young attorneys such as myself from going through these processes to attain certification, only impacts the public and the practitioners as a harm, which needs to be corrected by reversing opinion 745. Thank you.
Questions, anyone? Thank you, Mr. Hall.
Thank you.
Ms. Greenberg, I'm not looking to hold you to a particular time. I know you reserved 25 minutes. How long do you think your argument will need?
Opening statement and then whatever questions your honors may have for me.
Well, I'm torn myself as well, because I know we have a lot of lawyers here, but we'll have to break at around a quarter of. I don't know if that's a great way, if we get that far, but let's see. Please start.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. Under its rules of professional conduct, New Jersey prohibits referral fees. This prohibition is based on the state's interest in ensuring that any recommendations made to a potential client are in that client's best interest and not to serve the business interests of the lawyers making or receiving the referral. Historically, there was a practice in New Jersey where a lawyer would forward a case to another lawyer, making a mere recommendation, and that forwarding lawyer would be entitled to one-third of the total legal fees, irrespective of any legal services performed, real services performed, or joint responsibility assumed. New Jersey adopted rules to prevent this practice, specifically RPC 1.5e, and before that, Disciplinary Rule 2-107 and Canon 34. These rules explicitly prohibited any division of fee from a mere recommendation, instead requiring any fee division to be based on the proportion of services rendered or joint responsibility assumed for a matter. The case today involves the division of a fee for legal services in the context of the New Jersey Certified Attorney Program, which was established by this court around 1980. Some 5 years after the program's creation, presumably to add an incentive for the legal community to direct matters to the program, this court created a narrow exception to RPC 1.5e by adding paragraph D to Court Rule 1:39-6. This new paragraph now permitted a certified attorney to divide a fee for legal services with an attorney who referred them a client, but relaxed the requirement that the fee slip be based on the proportion of services rendered or joint responsibility. The remaining requirements of reasonableness and consent in RPC 1.5e remained intact. Under this background, the committee issued opinion 745, finding that the fee referenced in Rule 1:39-6D is a fee for legal services. And as such, other limits on fee sharing, including the requirement that the attorney being paid be eligible to practice law in New Jersey, also apply. Importantly, as a fee for legal services, if the out-of-state attorney who was not eligible to practice law in New Jersey was paid the fee, the certified attorney and the out-of-state attorney would be engaging in impermissible fee sharing barred by the RPCs. This conclusion is supported by the plain language of the court rule, which as currently written, uses a specific language, quote, division of a fee for legal services, unquote, by the history of analyzing these types of fee sharing agreements under RPC 1.5a, and because an attorney cannot be paid a fee for legal services while ineligible to practice law in New Jersey. The remainder of opinion 745, which concluded that certified attorneys may not pay fees to New Jersey lawyers who cannot take a case themselves or who must withdraw from a case due to a conflict at the time of the referral, flows directly from the committee's interpretation that the fee at issue here is a fee for legal services. Petitioners raise an important concern that opinion 745 will disincentivize out-of-state lawyers from making referrals to the New Jersey Certified Attorney Program. But there is no evidence to suggest that out-of-state attorneys will stop making referrals if they cannot profit from them. And the suggestion that would happen if opinion 745 is upheld is not only at odds with other rules of professional conduct, but also highlights New Jersey's concerns about referral fees and why, as a general matter, such fees are banned in most circumstances. Attorneys in and out of state should be making referrals based on a client or prospective client's independent legal needs and not based on any economic or other incentive. If the opinion is upheld, out-of-state attorneys who are not otherwise eligible to practice law in New Jersey can still make referrals to the Certified Attorney Program or to any other New Jersey attorney. They just cannot profit from that referral. That said, as noted in its brief, the committee supports the New Jersey Certified Attorney Program and believes that out-of-state attorneys should be taking advantage of it. And if this court believes that opinion 745 discourages that, then this court can expand the court rule to permit payment of referral fees to out-of-state attorney. The committee defers that decision to this court. In sum, because the fee at issue here is, quote, a fee for legal services, and because the committee's opinion is consistent with that interpretation, the committee believes that opinion 745 should be upheld. Thank you.
You're done with your opening statement. Can you tell us what inquiry or inquiries the committee received in this matter? Were any of them written? Can we get copies of them?
I don't know if they're written, I know that calls came into the ethics hotline that prompted the committee to reference, to write this opinion.
And did any of those oral inquiries involve conflicts as well?
I don't know if they included conflicts. My understanding from the committee as to why they included the provision about conflicts flows directly from its interpretation that the fee at issue here is a legal fee. And so it flowed directly from how whether or not a fee can be paid for legal services if a conflict exists. And again, I think that it was referenced by Justice Wehner after opinion 613, which is from 1988, indicates that it cannot be paid. In that case, in that opinion, the committee referenced that there have been situations where even when both parties agreed to waive the conflict, they still cannot profit from it. So it's something that's consistent with past committee opinions. And again, they included it, as far as I know, because of its interpretation of as a division of a fee as a legal fee.
You read for us critical language in 6D. The fee division may be made without regard to services performed. Are there limits on what the referral fee could be? Could a referral fee be more than 50% of the total fee, the reasonable fee?
My understanding is the standard practice is a third of that fee. I'm not sure if there are different types of practices that might limit that even further.
Is there any restriction on a larger referral fee being made?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor.
How could, and of course that would apply to a very large referral fee where no legal services were performed, how could that be considered to resemble a legal fee?
Again, I think in terms of the referral fee, in terms of the referral itself, the way that the court rule is written permits that to happen. And it, you know, we use the word referral fee, and I think we all fall into that trap. I think even in the opinion, we talk about referral fee, but it's really a division of fee for legal services. That's what has been deemed by the court rule, the way that it's written, currently written.
Be a division for legal services if it specifically says the fee division may be made without regard to services performed?
Because that's an exception to RPC 1.5E that it's the way that they were, that we were able to exempt the requirements for fee splitting under RPC 1.5A.
Is there another reasonable way to read this rule? Just looking at the plain language, it says in 6D, may divide a fee for legal services. Could that simply mean money is taken from a pot? That pot includes reasonable fees for reasonable services, but it does not involve the payment of legal services. It's just the pot that they're talking about. Is that an alternative, reasonable way to read the plain language of 6D?
I think that can be an alternative, reasonable way. But again, I do think that, you know, divide a fee for legal services, the division of a fee, that is, I think, a term of art. And when you look at RPC 1.5E, which is what this sort of abrogates, it's still really, I think the way the committee reads it is, you know, words matter, and the word we're using the words fee for legal services in the specific rule.
So then let's look at the very first words of 1.5E, which begins, except as otherwise provided by the court rules. Why isn't 6D read as an alternative provision that takes you out of 1.5A?
I think when you look at the history of division of fee for legal services and these type of fee sharing agreements where you're talking about the mere recommendation, it's always been analyzed under RPC 1.5E. And even in the more recent case, which is an unpublished case that one of the petitioners relied on, it's still, they incorporate 1.5E into Rule 1:39-6D.
So if we're trying to read these two provisions and make sense of them, 1.5E plainly contemplates legal services to be performed, right?
Correct.
And 6D plainly contemplates the opposite.
Because it's meant to be a narrow exception to RPC 1.5E.
You get that from where?
I think the history of analyzing these types of agreements under RPC 1.5A historically, and even going back, I think, to the opinions that were referenced prior, committee opinions 273 and 87, I believe, 88, I believe, that practice of being able to make that referral not for joint responsibility or services performed is still prohibited in New Jersey. That's something that still exists under RPC 1.5A.
Well, doesn't that cut against your argument? I thought opinion number 273, which is what you're referencing, states that, quote, a bare recommendation does not constitute legal services. But here the committee is saying that a bare recommendation does constitute legal services.
I don't think it's saying that it doesn't constitute legal services. It's saying under the way that that rule is written, which again predates the certified attorney program and this specific rule, is that it was condemning the ability to make this so-called referral fee with just for mere recommendation. And that still exists under RPC 1.5E. In order to allow that in the certified attorney program, it needed to include the language that it didn't have to be for for joint responsibility or services performed. Otherwise, you would not be able to pay this fee at all if you weren't able to exempt it from the current status of fees in New Jersey.
So we look to the canons of statutory interpretation in order to try to make sense of rules that may or may not be read together. Tell us why we would import from 1.5E the concept of a division of fee between lawyers who are performing legal services into 6D, which does exactly the opposite.
Again, I think 6D is meant to be an exemption to that general premise in New Jersey that you can't receive a fee for referral fees. And I think there is an element of having to analyze a case that comes to you, use your professional judgment, and then make a referral to the appropriate person in order to take that case.
Even if 6C was an exception to 1.5E, it's not an exception that specifically, it says that these fees can be, that this fee division can be made without regard to services performed, and it uses the word referring attorney. It does not say referring attorney who is licensed to practice law in New Jersey, or referring New Jersey attorney, or referring in-state attorney. So why, when reading that, is it not most naturally read as an exception that allows certified attorneys, but not other attorneys, to pay referral fees to any referring attorney?
The committee's opinion, again, comes from the way that it interprets that we're talking about a fee for legal services here and who may be paid a legal service in New Jersey. And while the referring attorney piece does not have qualifiers, as Your Honor just pointed out, the court rules and the RPCs typically refer to, you know, there are references to attorneys without those qualifiers that necessarily mean attorney eligible to practice law in New Jersey. There's other times where they do say and reference an out-of-state attorney. If it was meant to apply to out-of-state attorneys, it would say that. And I think as the committee's brief indicates—
Sorry, so you're saying that every time that the rules refer to attorney, it only means in-state attorney?
Apologies, that is not what I meant to say. I said often that may be the case, but you have to look at the actual provision itself and any other related provisions. And again, in this instance, the committee's opinion derives from the fact that in paragraph D, we're talking about a fee for legal services and what flows from that interpretation of it being a legal service.
Counsel, I just want to ask a rationale question. If 60 is intended to incentivize referrals to certified trial attorneys, what's the difference if that referral comes from an attorney in Camden or an attorney in Philadelphia? Just rationale-wise.
Again, I think it comes back to the rationale for who can be paid legal fees in New Jersey. And I think the general bar against or disfavorment of referral fees in general. But I think in New Jersey, if you're not eligible to receive a legal fee and handle a case, you can't receive this referral fee. Just like those attorneys, the same goes for out-of-state attorneys who are not eligible, otherwise eligible to practice law in New Jersey. So I think it's sort of treating those two types of cases the same.
Questions? Anything you'd like to add, counsel?
No, thank you for hearing me, Your Honor.
Ms. Manning, did you want to offer rebuttal?
My practice is not one where referrals are common, but I am a certified civil trial attorney, and it is one of my proudest accomplishments. When I read the certification rules, I did not read it as the committee reads it. New Jersey State Bar Association is here because ethics rules should not be a trap for the unwary. You should not have to go through as many hoops as we had to get through to get here. You should be able to rely on the plain language of the rules. So we respectfully request that 745 be overturned.
Thank you. Thank you to all counsel. Court's in recess.